Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan, and today we're going to talk about antique quilts. We're going to talk about jelly rolls, and we have somebody special on who has a big 20th anniversary, and we're going to spend some time finding out what makes her tick. So our first guest is Betsy Chutchen, and if you love antique quilts, then you and Betsy are going to be like best friends forever. And Betsy has this passion for reproducing antique quilts, and I think even really modern quilters, after going out and look at Betsy's work, are going to want to dip their toes into some antique quilts. So, hi, Betsy. How are you?
Hi, Pat. I'm good. How are you doing today?
Oh, I am great. I just, you know, I love talking to you, Betsy, because you just ooze antique quilts. I mean, don't you? I mean, it's just like a passion that is just coming out of every bit of you. And
well,
I'm really excited.
It is.
I know. You know, and you started blogging. How do you like that?
I do like it. I wish I had a little more time for it, and I would blog more often. You know how life gets in the way, and it takes a little more time than I thought it would, but it is fun, and I love hearing back from all of my readers.
Right. Betsy's new blog is called Betsy's Best Quilts and More .blogspot.com. So where did this passion for antique quilts come from?
I guess growing up around my grandmother's quilts. And when I wanted to start quilting in 1980, I wanted from the very get-go to make only quilts that looked old. They have a character to me that is special to my heart. I love history, and I like thinking about what the women of the 19th century would have been making while I work on my own.
You know, I think that's the really interesting part about it, is when you work on something that will look old when it's done, it does make us think back about the other quilters, people who
really
come before
does.
Us.
Mm-hmm. And it really does.
You have a lot, you've written several books. A lot of them have to do with history. You have a lot of history of quilting in your family. I mm-hmm. want you to tell me a little bit about your block exchange quilts, because that's sort of a more modern thing that you're doing in
right.
a way.
Right. Well, our 19th Century Patchwork Divas formed as a group in 1997. We started with just inspiration from a public domain block and a particular line of fabric from Judy Rothermel. We made blocks, we exchanged them, we set them in different ways, and that just came to be our mantra. That's how we like to quilt. So within this group, we've done, oh gosh, I've lost count how many exchanges, 40 some odd.
Oh my gosh.
Then. And
yeah.
We put 10 of them into the book, mm-hmm. and they're all either inspired by a particular block or from an antique quilt. And then we go through the block pattern and setting patterns for making the quilt go together in several different ways.
I think that's the neatest part about it, is because you all have your own take on it, even though you're working with the same colorways, sort of, and the same blocks.
Right. We all receive the same blocks. We just put them together as we choose.
Now, when you started this, Betsy, were you all located near each other? Because, you know, in 1997, there wasn't a lot of internet going on.
Right. There were 11 of us originally, and now we have 24.
Oh, my gosh.
And most everybody lived right there in the same area.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the years have passed, some have moved away. Mm-hmm. Some, while they were living away, they invited friends to join us. And so we've kind of expanded and grown.
And you just did like a big retreat together.
Yes, and it was wonderful. One of our members came in from Washington, D.C., and then we had others from South Texas. So it was nice getting all together in one location in Central Texas.
And how many days did you hang out?
We were there for 5 days. Four nights, Ooh. 5 days of quilting, and it was great. I hadn't been able to sew, really didn't have the mood, wasn't in the mood for it after my dad passed away in May. And this helped me get back in the groove, being with the girls, everything set up. You don't have to worry about meals. you know, you can visit, you can sew, and it was fabulous.
Yeah, I think that's why people love retreats.
Absolutely.
You get to hang out. Did you finish anything?
No. Did I what?
Did you finish anything?
Well, I took far too many projects because I'm behind, as usual, you know, getting things done. Mm-hmm. I took far too many projects to get them all finished, but I got things to a good point. So I came home happy and am picking back up where I left off at retreat.
Well, that's always the best part is you get, you know, you move forward.
I did move forward.
Now, you have an amazing basket quilt called Bounty of Baskets in the June issue of American Patchwork and Quilting. I just love this quilt. Tell us about it.
Well, the quilt was inspired by the line of fabric, Hot for Chocolate, that I did last year. Mm-hmm. And when I got the collection, came all together, arrived at my door, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, okay, what do I want to make with this? And baskets came to mind. Mm-hmm. So then I took three basket patterns that kind of look similar, but are just a little bit different in the piecing, mm-hmm. and put that together using that collection.
Now, this quilt is a little sort of, I would maybe call it a summery Betsy quilt because it's light.
It is light, and most of my quilts are dark. And I don't know if it had to do with the fabrics, because there are certainly darker fabrics in the line. Mm-hmm. It just felt like it ought to be a light-colored quilt, a light tone.
Right, it's sort of a cream background. Yes, it's a cream, and it's got reds and baskets, mm-hmm. and black baskets, more red and black maybe together.
Red and brown.
Oh, red and chocolate. Brown. Okay. It's gorgeous.
Well, thank you.
And, you know, can you tell me a little bit, what is your studio like where you work?
Well, it's a small space, wall-to-wall cupboards around the perimeter of the room. And within each cupboard, there's like a color collection of fabric. So, like all of my browns, I'm a big brown fan. Mm-hmm. The browns have their own cupboard. I have that, and then I have a drafting table where I cut and draw, and a small sewing table that my dad made for me. So I like it. It's cozy. I've got quilts all over the wall. I love my gallery of quilts, and I change them out whenever it suits me, you know, and redecorate with some of them around the house.
Nice. Now, you are going to be featured in American Patchwork and Quilting in the October issue.
Yes.
Ah, so exciting. So we'll get to actually see a little peek into your studio.
Yes, you will. You will. That's really exciting for me.
Yeah, and the other thing that I found totally fascinating is that you collect Halloween things.
Yes.
Now, how did that happen?
I love it. They make me smile. Everything about Halloween makes me smile. I don't get into the ghoulish part, but I collect a number of things, you know, folk art and primitive pieces that are recreated. I do have a few antique pieces, not very many, but they just make me smile. Every year when I unpack them, I say hello to them, and when I pack them away, I tell them bye-bye for now. It's very funny, but I just love having them out. And then I've made little quilts to go along with, you know, vignettes. And you will see that in the magazine.
Ah, it's just fabulous. So when did you start collecting?
Well, when my kids were little, and they're 30 and 25, when they were little, I started then because they wanted to decorate. And then my collections refined a little bit, and it wasn't just the kids' stuff. And we always dress up. I dress up to greet the trick-or-treaters still at the door. I just love it. It just makes me happy.
I love Halloween as well. I think it's great. You can't have a bad pumpkin, can you?
No, you can't. I love pumpkins.
I know. I do, too. So let's talk a little bit about techniques, because you were telling me that you know, you like to do a lot of things with triangles and particularly flying geese. Mm-hmm. You have a little tip for us on flying geese blocks.
Well, it's a little hard to describe, but my best tip, My favorite technique is to make the four flying geese at once from the big square and the eight little squares. And four little squares.
Right.
And I like to have my needle down whenever I am sewing to make those the final parts of the geese. This is really hard to describe on the phone. But you have your needle down right where you're going to sew so that that dog ear point is
right.
in that V with your needle. The V is there, the needle is there. And if you start from that end rather than the other end, just where there is no dog ear, I guess it's at the seam end. If you start at that seam end, it will come out more square than if you had sewed the other direction. I don't know exactly why, but when you turn it over, you can see a perfect little square in that intersection, and that way you don't cut off the nose of your goose.
Perfect. That is so cool.
It does a little bit better when I can demonstrate it, but when you trim up just a little bit, you don't ever have to trim away that goose tip.
Yeah. That's, you know, I think people are afraid of the flying geese block.
They are.
They're very effective because you have that bigger section of fabric to show off.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do.
So tell me, when you're, I want to talk a little bit about fabric just for 1 second here before we finish. When you go out to hunt for new fabric, do you have a goal, like a particular colorway or something to add to your collection?
Every once in a while, I have something very specific that I'm looking for. Sometimes it's hard to find just the right shade of a blue-green, a teal, for the antique quilts. They occurred at a couple of different times in the century, and it's a little bit hard to find. So I always have my eye out for something specific that I need, or a particular shade of purple, or, you know, whatever kind of red I'm working with. So I do have kind of a mental checklist that I take with me. And I don't buy four specific quilts. I buy colors that I need and designs that I may need so that I have it all, just like having a well-stocked pantry, I have a well-stocked cupboard of fabric.
Betsy, that is an awesome, awesome way to work. I thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you, Pat, for having me.
You have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Be right back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio after this break.
Join Beth for video demonstrations of the latest and greatest quilting products. Visit allpeoplequilt.com and click on Tool School. Welcome back to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. And what a show it is. Strutting down the runway with a fizzle and pop is Pezzi Print by American Jane. Now it's Kate Spain showcasing waterfalls of color and good fortune. Chloe's Closet is here with a peachy keen idea, combining two classic favorites, flannel and 30s prints. Next, let's take a walk in the woods with Anie LaVoy and discover enchanting storybook characters. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
At Stash Books, we work to inspire you to use fabric to create a beautiful handmade lifestyle. We're passionate about inspirational designs, accurate instructions, and finding authors that you want to know and learn from. Visit StashBooks.com for a behind-the-scenes look at this season's new releases, including Modern Minimal by Elisa Haight Carlton, Modern Patchwork by Elizabeth Hartman, and much more. Sign up for our email list at StashBooks.com and get 20% off your next order.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
CRM.
editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on Watch Videos.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Don't you just love hearing about the antique quilts? Ah, just love it. Okay, so now we are going to talk to Kimberly Imo. And if you have not met Kimberly yet, you are in for a real treat. Kimberly and I just taught together at the Vermont Quilt Show, so I got to know her a little bit, and I got to see all of the amazing quilts that her students produced in her classes. It was phenomenal. Plus, you know, you probably know Kimberly from her Jelly Roll, fame, but she also does many, many more things. So, hi, Kimberly. How are you?
Hey, Pat. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. I'm so excited to, you live near me now. Isn't that fun?
I know. That is the best perk of moving up here to this area was we got to get together, and that was a great time. I felt like we'd known each other for a long time.
I know you're very easy to hang out with.
So are you.
So tell me, how did you start quilting?
Well, I've been sewing since I was a little girl, making garments. But it wasn't until 1991, I was a new military wife, and we moved up here to the D.C. area for the first time. And I got off the King Street Metro and wandered by a quilt shop and was hooked from almost the second I walked in and just decided that's what I wanted to do when I grew up. So I basically begged the shop owner to let me start working there, and she did, and before long, I was teaching classes, and it was just from raw enthusiasm, and nobody told me I couldn't do it, so I just jumped right in and just took off from there.
At some point, Kimberly, you discovered Jelly Rolls and have really done some amazing quilts with them. Why are you personally fascinated with them?
Well, that's kind of a funny story too. I actually, we were living over in Germany for the second time. I had our second tour in Germany, and I had proposed my second book with the American Quilter Society, and my editor called and she says, we really like your idea, but would you consider writing a jelly roll book? And I thought, sure, why not? The problem was there wasn't a jelly roll to be had in the whole continent of Europe. So I called some contacts and asked them to send some over to me. And when I first got the box of a whole bunch of different jelly rolls, they kind of sat on my design table for about 3 weeks, and I broke out in a cold sweat and thought, oh no, now what am I going to do with them? And the hardest part, I think, was untying the bow for the first time.
Oh, I know, because they're so cute.
They're really pretty stacked up there, but I thought, oh no, I've committed to doing this. I better dive in. So I untied the bow, and once I got started, I basically couldn't shut it off. I just kept coming up with more and more things I could do with them and just had so much fun. There's so much design potential in those wonderful 2.5-inch strips.
And because that part of it's already cut, then you end up adding a couple other fabrics to make the amazing quilts.
Right. There's been a couple patterns where I've tried to use just the jelly rolls or just the layer cakes, but I find it works a lot easier if I bring in at least one more fabric, because there tends to be a lot of busyness going on with those pre-cuts, a lot of fabrics that want to be the stars and not so many blenders. So I find if you add one fabric, like a background fabric, that's maybe a solid or, you know, a tone-on-tone or something that reads like a solid, it gives the eye a place to rest and lets all those glorious fabrics do what they need to do to make the design work. So that's a real good tip, is just adding one or maybe two other fabrics that would be in yardage amounts that really makes those designs pop and lets those pre-cuts do what they do best.
And they don't even have to be fabrics from the same fabric.
No. And a lot of times I like to incorporate a fabric that isn't from that fabric line, just because then it makes them look a little sparklier. Or I'll throw in a fabric from my stash that really wasn't with the fabric line, but adds that sparkle. Or sometimes that's the best place to use your ugly fabrics. You can really throw in some of those ugly fabrics that you bought, 15 years ago that you don't know what to do with. A strip or two two of those thrown in there too can and add a lot of excitement and sparkle, and you're not quite sure why it looks better, but it really does. So that's a good tip.
All right, so I'm going to have to start thinking about that. The ugly fabrics go added in. And you have another amazing, like, why didn't we think of this ourselves tip about the jumbo.
Oh, my best tip ever. Well, anyone who's ever untied the bow knows that two things happen. Number one, you'll never roll those strips back up again real pretty. And number two is it looks like a little crumb bomb goes off in your room. So before you untie the bow, take one of those sticky tape lint rollers and roll it over the top and bottom of your pre-cuts, your jelly rolls or your honey buns, before you untie the bow. And you know, you may go through a couple of those pieces of tape, but you'll reduce your lint by about 80%. So it's a really good tip.
Oh, yeah, and don't wear black pants when you open them up.
Yes, never wear black pants.
Never.
Or white.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you're just covered. You like you rolled around on the floor for a few days.
And then use that lint roller to roll yourself before you leave the room.
Exactly. And you actually have your third jelly roll book coming out soon, right?
Actually, it's the fourth. Oh, yeah, third jelly roll book, my fourth book coming out. You're right. It's called Pre-Cuts Bonanza. It's coming out in either late August or early September.
Exciting.
That'll be the end of my jelly roll trilogy, I think.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know you make all kinds of beautiful quilts. So,
you
have some others up your sleeve, I am sure.
Yeah, I'm working on some other things coming down the pike here shortly. So,
well, tell me a little bit about moving a studio, because you are an expert at it.
Expert by default, only because we've moved 14 times in the last 24 years. And my husband keeps saying, this is the last one. But literally, we just moved again. We've moved actually four times in the last 6 years alone. But we bought a house here. We intend to stay. And this time, he's letting me kind of design a dream studio, which is really fun. But I've made studios work wherever we've been. And I've had, anything from a closet to shared a room, a guest room. I've worked in a basement dungeon type area where there was no light. That was real challenging, no natural light. I've taken over what was an old doctor's studio or doctor's waiting area. So I've had some really interesting spaces. But the thing is I get in there and I just try to set it up as or feng shui it as best I can, meaning I try to set it up so everything is accessible. I can get right to the ironing board next to where I would sit to sew. So I could just turn and iron or press easily. Mm-hmm. I always try to have a space where I can cut at the proper height so I don't get back pain. And sometimes that's been on top of a washer and dryer. Not when they're running, of course, but just have to make it work. You know, sometimes the kitchen counter is a really good height.
They are.
Yeah, right across the hall from one of my studios, I had the washer and dryer, and I found that was actually a really good height for cutting. So I just kind of make it work wherever we're at.
Do you have a way, like if somebody was planning to move right now, would there be like a tip that you could give them that would just help them along with their studio move?
Absolutely. If they have their stash organized, when I'm packing that stash up, I literally try to use small book boxes. First of all, because fabric is so heavy, just like books can be really, really heavy, and you don't want to use a medium box. You really want to use a small box. And then I label those like 1A, 1B, 1C that would fit in a cabinet or a cupboard or a closet so that when I get to the other end, I can lift those fabrics right out of that box and stick them back in the same order, because I've spent way too many years trying to rearrange the color wheel or the stash, my stash. So I feel like if I pack them up very orderly and label the boxes that way, and I never let the movers do it, I do that part myself, because otherwise they would just throw it all in. Then they come out of the boxes that way, and that really helps.
Oh, that's excellent. Excellent. Yeah. I haven't had to move my sewing area except for to different rooms within the house. So that's a little different. Yeah.
But
and
you love to teach,
Kimberly.
Oh,
you
yeah.
travel and
yeah.
it's just amazing. Do you have like a schedule on your website?
I do. It needs to be updated right now, but yeah, I do have some great places that coming up. I'm going to be teaching at some guilds at Road to California next spring. I've got two quilting cruises on for next year, one for the Western Caribbean and one to Alaska in June. So I've got some real fun places coming up.
And if they can't come to you, then you have some online, too.
I do. I just launched through craftseat.com a video series, an online class series of some of my best classes and my most popular classes. And that was a lot of fun to do. I really enjoyed doing that. It was my first time doing a video, and I had a ball. Of course, I think there was enough outtakes to fill a complete blooper reel.
You know, I'm not surprised by that, Kimberly. I don't know why. I'm just not.
I'll tell you, though, with the production crew that shot it, boy, they're quilting pros by the end of the week.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. So now you love to travel.
Yes.
And you've done a lot of it. What is one of your favorite like sort of travel experiences?
Well, wherever we go, and I always keep an open mind, and our sons, boy, they've traveled with us. They're both teenagers, but they have a lot of frequent flyer miles. You know, we've traveled all over the world, but we never saved a dime, really, but we've had a lot of fun. What I like to do is wherever we are, I like to search out souvenirs, but the kind of textile souvenirs. So I'll look for fabrics that are local. A lot of places may not have cotton fabrics. So I'll look for other things like trims or ribbons or buttons. You can always find those kinds of things in different countries or areas. And I'll try to find things that are indicative to that local area. And then those are kind of my souvenirs. And whenever I can, I try to incorporate those into my quilts, even the jelly roll quilts. I'll try to throw some of those fun pieces in, because then that's kind of a nice reminder or a nice souvenir that either goes up on the wall or, you know, I can just display that is a great reminder of traveling. And you can always find something that's textile or, you know, fabric related, even if it's not actual fabric.
I think tea towels, you know, are pretty easy
to find. Tea towels are awesome. Oh, yeah, you can always find those in every country.
Kimberly, this has been wonderful to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you, Pat. This has been so much fun. I really am honored that you asked me, and so glad that we're living almost in the same neck of the woods and can easily get to one another now.
This is true. This is true. Visit Kimberly Imo at KimberlyEINMO.com. We'll be right back after this break.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Did you know you can find your favorite books from C&T Publishing available as ebooks at ctpub.com? From new releases to classics, there are hundreds of titles to choose from. Ebooks are instant and immediate. No more waiting around for a printed book to be delivered. They take up less space and are easily portable. Plus, ebooks use very few natural resources. Look for the ebook sale button at ctpub.com to save 20% on your ebook purchase. Start browsing now at ctpub.com.
We're back at the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. You can just feel the excitement. Minnick and Simpson are back with Prairie Paisley 2, a collection with the rich, layered look of a well-loved fabric stash. Here comes Sandy Gervais getting sassy with this bright and cheerful line. Up next, Deb Strain's Tend the Earth is bringing the peaceful feeling of a garden to the runway. Ooh la la, it's Bunny Hill Designs and Baby's Going to Paris. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Now, don't you just want to go and take classes with Kimberly? Fun, 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 fun. So I have Darlene Zimmerman on, and I am so excited because Darlene is celebrating 20 years with designing tools for easy quilting. And I think this is absolutely amazing. She and I met many years ago, actually during an American Patchwork and Quilting seminar event that we were both invited to. And from that day forward, we shared a table, we met each other, and we just, every time we see each other, it's like so great to catch up and find out what we're both doing. So this is fun, Darlene, to have you on the show. Thanks for being here.
Oh, I'm excited to be here today.
So, you know, Darlene, can you believe that you designed your first tool 20 years ago?
No, it seems like yesterday, not 20 years.
I know. When I read that, I'm like, no way. I mean, you don't, you know, you must have been 6 years old when you designed that tool.
Oh, at least.
Yes, at least right.
Six. But the quilting industry was new then, and we've come such a long way since that time.
You know, what was the first tool? Tell me what it was and why you were compelled to design a tool.
I was teaching community ed classes, and I started using Sharon Holcomb's Easy Angle, which cuts half-square triangles. But then I realized there was a need to also be able to cut quarter-square triangles, which are those triangles with the long edge on the straight of grain like you'd have in the goose and flying geese.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't such a thing on the market. If you look back 20 years ago, there wasn't much at all in the quilting
right.
market. So I devised a tool that could be cut out of the thick acrylic, and I realized that it worked as a companion with the Easy Angle. You would use the same size strips to cut the pieces for, like, the flying goose unit. And I thought, oh, this is fabulous. So I contacted the company that was making Sharon Holcomb's ruler, which was Easy International at that time. And it only took me 9 months to convince that man in New Jersey that they should manufacture my tool.
Only 9 months? Wow.
Only 9 months. I was very persistent. I called them at least once a week.
Oh, my.
Yes, but that's how I got started in the industry, and I have a lot more tools out now.
Oh, my gosh. Do you even know how many things you've designed?
No, I've kind of lost track.
Yeah, because you just come up with all these nifty little, you know, tricky things that help us do our fun quilting better. It's great. Your mind must be amazing.
Actually, I'm not very good at geometry, so I have to come up with easier ways to do things that don't require a lot of math, because I'm not very good at it. So I'm a process person.
Yeah, well, you know, that works for a lot of people. It's good to have a process person. Yes, probably why your things are so exciting and easy for people.
Well, I want people to be able to create the quilt or the project they want to create. I'm just providing the tools to help you cut the right shapes at whatever size you're working in.
Ah, do you make lefty and righty tools, or some of yours need to be that way?
Have you ever noticed when you're cutting strips, squares, shapes with your rulers, that you sometimes have to spin that ruler around because the numbers are upside down and backwards?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's so annoying. And it finally occurred to me that they're all marked like the old school rulers and yardsticks, but we don't use our rulers the same way when we're rotary cutting.
Ah.
So I changed the numbering system so that not only is it friendly for left-handed users, and finally they have a tool that they can read correctly. They don't have to subtract 2 7/8 from 4 3/4 or whatever. they can read the numbers correctly, but it's also marked correctly for right-handed people so that any way you pick up your ruler and lay it down, the numbers will always read correctly. No more spinning it around or turning it upside down or which way does this go? So I'm pretty excited about those lefty-righty tools.
That is amazing. Now, those can be found in quilt shops and a lot of stores that carry quilting supplies.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
And online, too. You can go to simplicity.com if you can't find them in your local stores.
Nice, nice. Now, you have, what is your newest tool? Tell me what the newest one is.
The newest ones are some additions to my double wedding ring template set, which allows you to do the pickle dish, which is, instead of wedges, you have pointy things.
Yes, and I love that block.
That one is a lot of fun to do. Easy to piece because the angles are all trimmed off so you know exactly how to fit them together. And for those who want less piecing, there's a single arc so that you don't need to piece those arcs in the double wedding ring. So those two are new. And also I have a improved nine patch tool, which is similar to a double wedding ring. You get a similar look, but it's a different pattern.
Oh, okay. Like it has like the nine patch in the middle?
Right. Oh, and then the curved edges.
The curved edges. Okay, yeah, I've seen that one. I think then those are really pretty. They see them a lot in sort of the 30s quilts, don't you?
Exactly, but it's kind of making a resurgence. I've been seeing an awful lot of them again. It's a pattern that probably we need to explore a little bit more.
Ah, now you have a little contest that's being, run for your 20th anniversary with the Dresden Plate template. Tell me about that.
Oh, yes. The Salt Lake Modern Quilt Guild is sponsoring a challenge using that tool. It's a very simple tool, but you can do lots of things with it, including Dresden plates and fans, but also tumblers, or your imagination can take you just about anywhere with that tool. And we have some great prizes. The winning quilts are going to be displayed at Fall Quilt Market. And if you want to join the fun, you go to slmqg.com, which stands for Salt Lake Modern Quilt Guild. And they've been blogging about it. You can go online and see some inspiration quilts and hear about what other people are doing with that tool.
Yeah, I'm actually taking a Dresden plate with me on my next trip to stitch on the flight because it's like a lot of hours on this flight.
Oh, okay.
15 hours. Do you think I can do 15 hours on the flight?
You can get a lot of stitching done, yes. Too bad you can't bring your sewing machine, huh?
I know.
On board.
No, I know, but I'm using your template, so.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. You have gone, you're a great traveler. You've, gone for work to many, many places. And also you enjoy traveling, Darlene, just for fun. What do you do when you travel for, like for souvenirs and stuff? Kimberly was talking about collecting fabric when she travels. Mm-hmm. What kind of things have you done?
I have bought some fabric, hand-woven textiles in some of the countries we've visited. But we go to some third-world countries, and there isn't a lot available. I tend to buy art pieces, paintings, carvings, wood carvings, something on that order that reminds me of the country.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But mostly I bring back a lot of memories.
And, how do your vacations or your business travels, do you ever find them sort of seeping into the quilts that you do?
Oh, yes. I think everything we're surrounded by inspires us. And I do feel that travel really feeds your soul. You just take in all these ideas, colors, textures, architecture, design, wherever you are, and you take it all in, and it does come back out in your creativity. But you can't always just keep pulling out of your creative well without also putting back in. So this is the time for me to really put back in and feed my imagination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's so important because people get a little burnt out sometimes even when they're doing something they love.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you need to step away for a little bit, do something mm-hmm. different, and then come back to it with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yes, yes. I was talking to Carrie Nelson about that when she had done a trip to France. And she said a lot of what it did was have her come back and sort of rethink where she was sort of heading, not so much what she put in her quilts, but just sort of how she approached her quilting.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's always interesting to see other design motifs and color combinations in different places where you travel. I think that's interesting. And then you can see the roots of some of the designs we have today.
Oh, I know. Like you go look at tiles or wallpaper mm-hmm. or the clothing, like designs of people on clothing in other countries.
Exactly. It's just so interesting.
Ah. Now, you've gone to Japan. Have you gone more than once? Have you worked the shows in Japan?
Just one time, and it was a while ago.
Oh, it was a while ago. Do you remember? Was that really fascinating for you personally?
Oh, yes, very fascinating country. I'd go back in a heartbeat. I really did like it there, and the Japanese people do like the 30s style of quilts. So I think we had a lot in common.
Yeah, the quilting language, right?
Exactly.
Now, just before we take a little break here, tell me, what is your latest fabric line?
Boy.
Yeah, the one that's
out in the store.
I'm working
on next year's, and I have some new ones out. The one that was released this spring that people would be most familiar with is my Redwood collection. It has an embroidery panel and coordinating fabrics, and it's called Lazy Daisy Baskets. And then just released was Mother's Melodies, which is a nursery rhyme-based panel with coordinates. So that's more of a children's novelty collection.
That panel is so adorable.
Oh, thank you. And I had so much fun making a cute little soft book with it.
Yes.
One of those no-sew projects.
Yeah, it looks like a book that I would have had as a child, with mm-hmm. all the little children and their little dresses. And then you have fabric that is similar patterns to what, is they're kind of wearing in the panel.
Right, right. So that was a fun collection to work on.
Well, we're going to take a little break, Darlene.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about the type of quilts that you like to make. And we'll talk about some tips and tricks that you have, okay?
Okay.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with the Spin, Twirl by Me and My Sister Designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, Hello Luscious by Basic Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Whatever your style, whatever your skill, you'll find everything you need to start sewing today at PatternSpot.com, the downloadable pattern marketplace. It's a one-stop shop with hundreds of designers and thousands of patterns all online under one virtual roof. Go to PatternSpot.com and sign up for our email list to get 20% off your next purchase. From quilts, home decor, and wearables to fabric crafts and accessories, PatternSpot.com is your one-stop pattern shop.
Wait.
10 quilting supplies worth over $1,200. Enter the 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge sweepstakes for your chance to win tons of fabric, books, tools, and more. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/million pillowcases to enter.
Win $10,000 cash to stock your stash. Enter today to win the ultimate $10,000 crafting giveaway at allpeoplequilt.com/craft giveaway.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm here with Darlene Zimmerman. Her website is feedsacklady.com, which is a great segue, Darlene, to your seems to be your preferred style of fabrics and quilts, the 30s era.
That's correct, although I do like to sew with everything else that's out there. Don't we all?
I know. So why do you gravitate towards, they tend to be a little bit more pastel, know, the 30s, 40s era type fabrics. Why do you love them?
Well, first of all, they remind me of my grandma. These are the quilts that I grew up with. And I think they're such cheerful, happy quilts. We live in Minnesota, and it's dark and dreary here a good part of the year, and I think we need cheering up. We need cheerful quilts. And I just like working with them.
You know, did before you even started, your business, when you were, just teaching, you started out, were you using just 30s fabrics then, or has that sort of grown as you've matured in your business?
That has grown. I think I've tried every style of quilt making. And they didn't have 1930s era fabrics when I first started quilting.
Well, that's true, right? That was sort of a later thing, wasn't it?
A later development.
Yeah.
And when I had a chance to design fabric, that's what I wanted to do. So, I can't explain it, but that's what I seem to be drawn to.
Well, we just love that you do, because your quilts are just amazing and friendly and happy. I love them.
Well, now, I do work in other fabrics, too. I have a little fall table runner in the current issue of American Patchwork and Quilting magazine.
Yeah, the August 2012. This is just a great runner. It's fall leaves. Tell us about the project.
Oh, I had a collection of leaf fabrics, and I just thought I would play around with it and do a little table runner. And I decided to use black rickrack for the stems, because I don't like to piece or make those little tiny applique stems. And that made it a lot faster. And, I think it's fun to do it scrappy, because as the leaves fall, you have such a variety of colors and textures and shapes. And so I replicated that in my little table runner.
Yeah, and it does look like leaves just, you have them all turning different ways, so that it looks a little bit like they've scattered onto the piece. And it's all pieced, though, so there's no applique on that one, except for your rickrack.
That's where the rickrack comes in, yes.
Now, I like the ends of it, too, because they're pointed, so it's not a rectangle. It has a point on either end. Is that hard to work with because, for binding and things like that?
Oh, no. Very simple to do. And it just happens because the blocks are set on point, so that shape just happens. There's no trick to doing it at all.
Okay. Well, it looks trickier then.
It's not really
it's very effective. It's good. Everybody will think you're a really brilliant quilter like Darlene's when you make this one.
But it's not hard to do.
That's right. You make things work out perfectly. So you told me you have a cheap trick. I want to hear your cheap trick. This cracks me up.
Yes.
I like to share this with people who take my classes. I have them bring the cheap paper plates, the kind you don't actually want to put food on. Mm-hmm. But they're great to organize your pieces for your blocks or if you're making a scrap quilt, mm-hmm. especially for a scrap quilt, because you can have everything cut out and you know how you have it spread all over your cutting table. But you can't leave it there indefinitely. So take one paper plate, put all the pieces you need for one block on one plate, put another plate on top, do the same thing, and then you can divvy out all of your colors and fabrics evenly and have it all ready to sew. You've got a stack of paper plates that you can put in a box or plastic bag to take with you, or if you have 5 minutes to sew, you can sit down and sew up one block because everything is what there on one plate.
That's really cool. Now I have to go buy some paper plates.
They're the handiest thing in your sewing room.
Oh, gosh. Speaking of sewing room, what does your room look like?
It's a former large bedroom with a big walk-in closet, and the closet is now filled with shelves for all my fabric. And it's great to have that all in one place. And wow. then just, you know, the usual, the cutting table, the sewing machine, mm-hmm. ironing board.
Is it a pretty big room then? It's a good size, like you said, it was
yes.
a master bedroom? Yeah.
Yes, oh. it is a really good size.
When you
but
store your
you
fabric, Arlene, oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, but don't you find your quilting kind of leaks all over the house and you find it everywhere?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Oh, my gosh. I have, you know, in my house, my pantry in the kitchen has quilt stuff in it.
Well, why not?
Yeah. I don't need food. I can go to the store and buy it.
Yes.
I don't need to store it here. That's...
We use every available space.
Yes, we do. Now, I'm curious, do you actually, you know, you said you like to work in other kind of fabrics. You know, do you have a little stash of fabrics that, or is it a big stash of fabrics that are not your sort of core fabrics that you work with?
I have
like lime green or, you know, leopard prints.
Oh, yes, I have batiks. I have lots of Civil War fabrics. I have... you know, bright fabrics. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have a big stash.
Oh.
Not only
well,
my fabrics,
walk-in
but everything else.
For.
Yes, exactly. Shelving is really helpful.
Yes. Yes, it is. So what do you do if you personally need a little jump start? You know, we talked about taking a vacation, but let's say, you know, that's not possible and you're working on a project. Maybe you're designing your fabric line or you're working on a book and you just, you know, you get stuck. What do you personally do?
Oh, that's easy. I either go to back issues of magazines, pull out my quilting books, particularly those that have a lot of pictures, of quilts, old quilts, and just page through in color inspiration, or you'll see a block that you really like, or, wow, look at that border. You'll find plenty to inspire you. Not that you're copying what someone else has done, but the ideas will just start to flow again once you've poked at them a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's true, too, because I like to look at antique quilts. I think that they're amazing. And you start, mm-hmm. you sort of like look into them and look just at like even part of a block and say, oh, look what they did there, or the fabric choices they used.
Exactly. You look at quilting in a different way, and you're not looking at your quilt, so you're seeing how someone else interprets a block or a color combination. And
so
that's what inspires. Go ahead.
Yeah, it does. It sort of jumps you into, okay, now I know what to do with my project, or I can move
mm-hmm.
forward.
Right.
So let's talk about teaching, because you travel to teach. You also travel and you vend at some of the shows with Easy, right?
Right. I sometimes go to some of the consumer shows mm-hmm. and also trade shows. So that's always interesting.
Do you have a list on your site, or can people just email you?
Mm-hmm. they could email me. Right now, I don't have anything posted, but I really ought to post my schedule for the next year. You know, not enough hours in the day.
I know. So when you travel, are you traveling often to guilds or quilt shops right now?
Fairly often. Probably more than I ought to, because I can't seem to say no. And I really do enjoy the teaching. It's the traveling to and fro that gets to be tiring.
All right, and you've been traveling, you know, 20 years for your work.
And you know how it is. We don't travel lightly. We haul a lot of quilts with us.
Yeah, what is light? We don't know the meaning of light.
No. Well, I do want to tell you about a lot of new free patterns up on the simplicity.com website.
Oh, that exciting.
Been working on lots of new projects. They're not all in 30s. It's just a real variety of projects. So you can go to simplicity.com and find them. And they're also on Facebook. Go to Facebook and go to Easy Quilting, EZ Quilting, and you'll find it.
What can you give us an idea of one or two of the patterns that you've done for that?
Oh, there's just so many. I can't even think right now what they are.
I think you did 1,000 pyramids. Didn't you do 1,000 pyramids one?
Yes, and we have a footstool that uses a five-pointed star, which is pretty unusual.
Oh, that's neat.
I have something for double wedding ring online. We've got just a variety because we want to provide free patterns for every tool. So let's say you've picked up a tool on sale somewhere and now you don't know what to do with it. Well, there's your place to go for inspiration and a free pattern.
Ah, excellent. Because I think people do get tools, whether, you know, along the way, and then when they finally decide to use them, they're like, well, now, you know, where can I go?
What do I do with it? Yeah. Yes, exactly.
So do you have a hobby, Darlene, besides, you know, work or?
Besides quilting? What
yeah.
else is there? No, in my spare time, I like to make quilts.
Right.
For me.
Yes.
Or I use someone else's pattern, which is a real novelty.
Right. Imagine that. I bet you collect those patterns, too. I do.
Oh, yes. And you think, someday I'll have time to make this. And, you know, occasionally I do.
Right.
And it feels really good to do something that isn't for work.
I know. It's funny to say that, because when our hobbies become our work, then we sort of have to carve part of the time to still make it a hobby.
Exactly. And don't you find that we spend more time on the computer and, you know, working on things we don't particularly enjoy, and not as much time sewing as we'd like to?
I know. Sometimes it happens. Darlene, this has been amazing to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for inviting me. It's been fun to chat with you.
And congratulations on 20 years of tool making. Incredible.
Well, thank you, Pat.
Everybody needs to go visit Darlene at feedsacklady.com. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Come back next week for an all-new show.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.